The Word of God is given to us to feed on. We at Deliverance Assemblies of God Church, located at Kotobabi behind Ebony Hotel in Accra, use this channel to come your way with the unadulterated Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
Holistically to support the ministers of God. Labor holistically to support the ministers of God. So the first question is, who is a minister of God? A minister of God is a normal human being, born of a woman. They have two parents, they have a mom, and of course they have a dad. To that end, their family lineages can be traced. At least, I have been to Akpafu because I went to Akpafu and ate fufu at Akpafu, so I can never forget Akpafu. So if you went to Akpafu now, you are asking of the minister of God, they will show you where he was actually brought forth. And because they are normal human beings, they are also a composition of spirit, soul, and body. Because they possess souls, they will pray to the five senses. They have minds, they think, they feel, they make choices just like you are. In fact, they act as ordinary human beings. Some of them have special foods that they like. Some have hobbies. They like sports. They like football. They can mention the Manchester United lineup for you. The only difference can be seen in their vocations. They are privileged to be ordained by God, so work for God. So they act as intermediaries between God and man. Indeed, the ambassadors of God on the earth plane here. And as shepherds, they have holistic roles to play to the spiritual flock. And cause the flock too is a composition of spirit, soul, and body. So the holistic roles affect the spirit, souls, and bodies of the spiritual flock in this manner. So I shall be talking about the threefold labor. The common term for the functions or roles of the ministers of God is labor. Somebody say labor. It's not connection Assemblies of God was 50 years ago and I passed by and I saw the inscription. They mentioned your name. They said, he labored from this year to this year. They mentioned another person's name. He labored from this year to this year. Then they came to the last person. He is laboring from this year until so, so, and so. So they see that as labor. They didn't say they work from this time to this time, but then they labored.
So what did you mean?
Other words or synonyms in the Greek for labor is toil.
And some the
when you talk about toil, then my mind goes to Peter, a professional fisherman. He had fished all the day. Then he stands and says, I have toiled all night. That is the extent of labor they accept.
The castle will be Eddie Juma brand, Najee Copy, Tasupetro, Obia, or Chi and Namu, or Sue, say, where did Juma and Najudin Yina?
The other term is to prevail, is to travail. And when you talk about travail, then my mind goes to Jacob. Whilst he was going to meet his brother Esau, there was an angel. He had to struggle, wrestle with him until he travailed in prayer. That is the extent of the labor they undergo.
Jacob, so say, Odi, Juma, or Neo, Bofono, So
as spiritual shepherds, they labor to the spiritual folk in the area of their spirits, their souls, and of course their bodies.
Na se o ye obi a ogwahwefo a odi juma wo nipa no okremu wadwini mu ene ohunamdua mu nyina.
I want to start with the spirit. The food of the spirit is prayer. So yeah. Laboring to the spirit is talking about prayer.
Yenko ho mu se mpaebo ye ne se duane mpaebo di ne se honhumu ne se obebo mpae.
So one of the primary functions of the ministers of God is to pray for the flock. Prayer in this instant is then spiritual labor. Epaphras, Apostle Paul's convert, threw more light on the labor aspect of praying in Colossians 4:12. Colossians 4 of Epaphras, who is one of you, a bond servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the way. Know the will of God.
Colossians woman or can Epaphras or say or tina say they be a odiduma a penny won pay bobo emma guamano do me diemun watch
the same. So the above quotation mentions prayer as a form of labor.
Now, what else will come pay bobo once and say a year do me dear say udi a penny?
Epaphras did not use praying as a form of comfort or luxury or hobby or creation, but saw it as labor.
Na Epaphras wo se dwumadie se ne ho be gudro no anase bibi ohu ni se eje dwumadie mu apene.
So he made it a duty to labor always in prayers fervently for the brethren.
Eti wo ye na dwene se ebre bi ni nyina obekoso abompae ama akra no.
There are moods in prayer which involves travailing, shouting, sweating, groaning, crying.
And Pibo, when Yema de Brioha, your
we have times of praying, it could be the morning, it could be night, all nights, cold or heat time.
And Pibo, so born on your will be upon an opera, Yanumria, Homachi, and I did the Sunina,
the Lord Jesus Christ, our example, after praying for himself, prayed in two main areas as well. He prayed for the disciples in John 17. That is what we call the Lord's Prayer. What we call the Lord's Prayer might be the disciples' pattern of prayer. But the Lord's Prayer actually was in John
17.
Apart from that, he also prayed individually for specific people like Peter, whom the devil wanted to sit. Jesus finally labored in prayer in Gethsemane with tears and cryings prior to his death. Apostle Paul learned from Jesus' example, so prayed for the Romans, the spiritual flock, always without ceasing.
Paul so shared for Jesus Christ went to a cross, so bombarded my Roman for.
And we see that in Romans 1:9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Let's come to the practicality of what we are talking about. Indeed, your ministers of God always pray and fast for you corporately and individually. Weekdays, weekend, holidays. Talk about time, it could be the night, it could be a hot, it could be heat. Even when we you have crossed over. Sometimes it is 31st and it's a Saturday to a Sunday or a Sunday to a Monday. They are here to pray for you. The testimony is indicating that whilst you are even asleep, God uses their spirits to come and then intercede for you. When you see them in your prayer, it means the spirit has been lifted and is praying for you while you are asleep. Sometimes the prayers become so intense that they lose their voices. In fact, many ministers have different voices they used to talk and the one they used to pray. Some ministers cannot sing. They don't have any part, either treble or alto. No choir will accept them because of their voices. They do not only pray for you, but occasionally they support your prayers with fasting and a dieting lifestyle. I've known my senior colleague for many decades, but just as he is, so he is. He cannot be eating certain types of foods because he has to be on a dieting lifestyle. So you have the privilege to eat anything, anytime you want. You can eat the chukwe, the poku, the nyankele, the shoin, the ojonye, ojoche. He cannot eat those things. My good friend Bishop Afoto Odai has a beautiful wife, a beautiful cook, but then he now has a special dietitian who takes care of his food. The wife does not cook for him again. Apostle Paul, who happened to have traveled to the ten heavens and was divinely protected with the glory of God, requested that prayers be made for him always by the Roman Church. So this is it. He has been praying for them always, and he said, "You too pray for me." And we see that request in Romans 15:30. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God. So Apostle Paul was begging the brethren that they should strive, they should wrestle together with him in prayers.
So the thought
provoking message is that even Apostle Paul, who was reshuffled to the third heaven and stayed in that divine glory for so much time that can be a covering over him, he's saying that the members should pray for him. Then how about our ministers whom we see daily going up and down, who have not traveled into the heavens?
The assembly say Apostle Paul on call through him memo or whom
surely they need more prayers. The pertinent question worth asking is, who watches spiritually over the watchman? That is to say, who prays for the ministers of God? So the flock is also expected to reciprocate and pray for the ministers of God. For two main reasons. The first one is that for divine protection and anointing. So praying for the minister of God should not be the preserve of a few prayer warriors, but the entire congregation must be involved.
Why?
The guys have a proverb that says, when one tree engages the storm, it will fall. You imagine a big forest and there's only one tree there. When the storms come, it will fall. But when he has other people praying for him, then he's strengthened.
Just say, from March, I say,
Moses, who was so anointed, had Aaron and Hur, who were holding his hands and were praying frequently for him. So the question once again is, who labors in prayers to the ministers of God? Looking into the life of Moses, we can conclude that Moses always interceded for the flock when they sinned against God.
Anytime
God will say, Moses, let me clear these people, and through you I will bring another generation. And Moses will go on his knees and intercede. He said, Lord, have mercy upon him. Moses will go on his knees and intercede. He said, Lord, have mercy for these stiff-necked people. Then the Lord will listen to Moses and he will not create the evil. But one day Moses was supposed to speak to the rock and he struck the rock. Among the 1 million people that he has been shepherding, he didn't even have 10 people saying, we are going to God and we are going to intercede on behalf of Moses. If only one person, Moses, can intercede on 1 million people and God will change his mind, how about if 1 million people have their faces on the ground and say, Lord, have mercy on Moses, Lord, have mercy on Moses. Of course, the Lord would have had mercy on Moses.
But
that is a very worrying role that confronts ministers of God. So the question once again is, who prays for the ministers of God? The second reason you have to pray for your ministers is for progress and prosperity. So praying for the ministers of God does not only aim at protection and anointing, but for progress and prosperity, term open doors or opportunities. Listen to what Apostle Paul said. 1 Corinthians 16:9. He said, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. The minister, but then there are many adversaries. Church, there are different types of doors that may open to the ministers and may open to the flock as well. And there are different levels of adversaries which will have different hindrances to the clergy and to the laity as well. One of the solutions to the open doors is prayers. You pray that the spiritual adversaries will be defeated and silenced to enable the doors of prosperity to be open perpetually. Indeed, just one door, and I want to emphasize one door, that may open for your senior pastor coming into contact with the man of God elsewhere, can change this building entirely to the glory of
God.
Yes, he's an international minister. He goes outside. But then you ought to pray more for more doors to be opened up for him. Because just coming into contact with one sheikh who has money and doesn't know what to do with the money can change this building totally for the best for you all.
I will say, of course, and say, oh yeah, I'm on a mind. I sent back up for the next week. She had a large beer. Oh, what's the car? Oh, who fanya?
The truth of the matter is that as a member of the local church, you are either an intercessor or an accuser of your ministers of God. You must demonstrate your loyalty to your ministers of God by defending them with your mouth if you can't pray for them. If you ever happen to say that your ministers of God have lost the anointing, then you have stopped praying for them. You are one of the causes of the loss in the anointing. You have become an accuser instead of an intercessor. Final question. Who prays for the ministers of God? And my prayer is that may the Lord make you an Epaphras. So that from today, any day you go on your knees and thank your God, make mention of your ministers of God. And as you water in the spiritual realm, may the Lord also water you. Second area of labor is directed to the soul. The soul feeds on the word of God. So we're talking about feeding the flock of God with the word of God. So another primary function of the ministers of God is to feed the spiritual flock of God with God's standard and knowledge and understanding.
And
I like this quotation very much by Jeremiah 3:15. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Somebody say with knowledge and understanding. If they feed you with the word of God and you don't understand, you don't apply. But because you understand and you apply, that is why you get the results. Jesus, our role model, set the example. He was always teaching daily in the temples. Apostle Paul was a good shepherd and divider of the word, termed that exercise as labor and demanded that such people be given double harness.
Now we say so no Paul so today say omo omo this say jumaino yet opinion and jumedi it was say this are any dear son.
Make mention of that to Timothy, 1 Timothy 5:17.
Timothy mumedi kwano ti enum tichemu junso hono.
Let the elders who rule well be counted double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine.
Now, I can for now, did you my brain or a seven church remuno or so munya and was run? I said, Nidia, bon, you know, say it, baby.
Indeed, feeding the spiritual flock with the unadulterated word of God demands labor to study and research.
When
you have to go in for the text, the pretext, the contest, and the protest. This labor is comparable to physical manual labor as you go to Abosokai and you hear the Eba, 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 Eba. They also labor in the word. Occasionally, they labor for balanced diet. They could preach faith for some time. They say, no, we want to preach the Holy Spirit. Then they say, no, we want to preach healing. So they labor by giving you special dieting. And the practicality is that just as Jesus was found there in the temple teaching the people, so does your ministers of God always teach you during church service days.
They
are duty bound to prepare sermons and teach and preach always.
In
fact, they are bound by Paul's message to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 4:2, he said, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching.
Na sa Timothy nsem ye kan so bu sua na omodi asem ne brain asem a e kwa kwa ye e kan yanim atenetene ye e wa akwa nyina mu.
He says preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. It means it is not when they are happy that they come to preach here.
O se kira asem no nye se wo be kira se na bra na ni kan oni age.
Out of season, he is even demoralized. He has to preach the word of God to you.
And
another area of comfort to the soul comes from the word man of God through counseling members who are downcast and discouraged. The ministers of God comfort the flawed with the word of God and give sound biblical directions.
But they said in Christian seminar,
you will hear it is well. God's time is the best. Our victory is eternal and permanent. God is still in control. No condition is permanent.
And some for say ye to be to walk.
This one too shall pass away. These are sometimes the encouragement they give to members of God, though the ministers of God may personally be bleeding and weeping within themselves.
Ghana,
we have the proverb that says, chiefs don't cry publicly. If they will allow ministers of God one day to come and stand here and cry, you will see that ministers too have been crying. The practical aspect of counseling is that just after service, you come to your men of God for free counseling. Sometimes there's a long queue.
You don't
pay any consultation fee. There is this man at Abokobi, they call him Ojaba. If you are going to see him, you pay 1,000 cedis. He has even increased it. VIP, 2,000. And people are struggling to go there. But here you come to a free counseling and you don't pay anything. So as they encourage you, you too will have to reciprocate and encourage the men of God in their souls. The question worth asking is, who encourages the encourager? In fact, David played the harp to restore even mental sanity to King Saul and many people.
But
when he came to him with the incident at Ziklag, he had nobody to encourage him, so he had to personally encourage himself in the Lord. In fact, David became depressed and frustrated because the same flock that he shepherded and led decided to stone him to death. Surely, in ministry, there are times of loneliness, separations, and desertions by the spiritual flock. Which requires encouragement from you to the ministers of God. Even Jesus Christ was on the earth, faced the same rejection and dejection. What did he do? He preached the message, eat my flesh, drink my blood. People say, we are not cannibals. We won't eat your flesh, we won't eat your blood. Many people all left him. When he turned his back, he saw only the 12. He asked them a simple question, will you also go? And then Simon Peter answered him, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? Because you have the words of eternal life. So we are not following you because of bread and butter, but then we are following you because of eternal life. That day, Jesus was really motivated and encouraged that at least he had people who are following him because of eternal life.
Now, Jesus Christ also fasted.
So the question once again is, who encourages the encourager? Should we leave the men of God to always encourage themselves in the Lord? As spiritual flock, you cannot encourage your ministers by preaching to them, but by supporting them with spiritual materials like books, CDs, DVDs, electronic gadgets, which will enhance their spiritual knowledge. The spiritual flock should shake the hands of the ministers of God and quote specific messages that bless them and transform their lives. Indeed, you can give testimonies that is just being given of changes in both spiritual and social lives. The guys have a proverb that says, when a load is put on the head of a fool, it is accompanied with appellations. So similarly, the spiritual flock should learn to encourage the ministers of God by sharing them with comforting words and messages. Once again, who comforts the encourager? Finally, the flock must learn to be loyal and defend the ministers of God, especially when people speak evil of them in their absence. My prayer for is that may the Lord raise encouragers like Barnabas in this particular auditorium, who will always stand to defend and then encourage the ministers of God.
The final
area is to the body. The body will work and the body will give. So the third major duty of the man of God is directed to the body of the spiritual flock. In this regard, it behoves on the ministers of God to transform through all godly means the spiritual flock to prosper or be blessed materially and financially. Surely the two main keys to material and financial prosperity are work and giving. So the spiritual father, like a teacher, has to transform the poor by teaching and counseling them to work and give to become rich. Stories relating to Abraham and Job should be told and explained better. And that if there was a prophet who feared God, but then he died indebted, then he chose to die as a pauper. The Lazarus story must be explained that you don't have to be poor before you get to heaven.
Now Lazarus
and that prosperity is a choice, and that even the devil hates poverty.
You
are taught to know that God has pleasure when you prosper in life. And that you are not created to be poor and pitied, but to be prosperous, to reign in life, and to be envied. David was no exemption to this shepherding trading experience. David, it was no exemption. When he fled from King Saul, he started his journey of prosperity with three groups of people. 1 Samuel 22:1-2. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone, 1, who was in distress, 2, everyone who was in debt, 3, and everyone who was discomforted gathered to him. So he became captain over them. And there were about 400 men of war. Interestingly, King David started his church with three main groups of people. People in distress. The word stress has even been killing people. So when they say distress, I was trying to find the meaning. Now, you can have bi-stress, that is double stress, tri-stress, maybe three times. But distress meaning four times in stress. People in debt, whatever you preach to him will not enter. People who was discontented, the landlord is saying, I am quitting you. If you go to church, don't return again. Whatever you preach will not enter. Handling just one group of search will require an abnormal grace. Yet the summation was that David became captain over
them.
Who will in this era of economic woes and civilization want to lead and become a captain over set a group of people? Yet David was content to start his journey of prosperity with this group of people that God gave him.
And so David, you're not being so baby said if a quimu.
David trained and nurtured them in the wilderness where there was no any form of educational institution. There was no Harvard, there was no Cambridge, there was no Gimpa there was no Oxford there. No MBA course was taking place there, and no professor was even there. He trained them and nurtured them. And with time, these same people became the rich and the wealthiest people who supported David in all his endeavors.
Amen. Now, David, the one name was Sasike Sena Sahono, Obieniho, Suku Pong, Bienihono, or Teti, Omo Church, Omo Mamu Beya, the four, I was
Apostle Paul shared about view of material and financial training or transformation.
Apostle Paul also actually was saying,
he made that in 2 Corinthians 6:10. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. This is to the minister. As poor, yet making many rich. This statement is just like the secular teacher who can train you to become a medical doctor, lawyer, accountant, pilot, engineer, and pharmacist, etc. So the bitter truth is that though you may be under a minister of God who might not necessarily be rich materially and financially now, but that same minister of God, like the teacher, can teach, counsel, prepare, and cause you to be rich materially and financially with time. So Apostle Paul advised the Ephesians church to labor with their hands to enable them to support the needy. He made mention of that in Ephesians 4:28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. So labor has been expressed in all three areas. To the spiritual labor is prayer. To the soul labor is the word of God. Now to the body labor is linked to giving.
Now our church says, "Oh, did you man? Niema mi ensemu, humu, paibo mu, jese, yupedu eni mu se our church says, 'Obe ma.'"
So laboring with the hands is not a curse, but a method to receive income to be distributed To support not only the needy, but the work of God in general.
Then
when you talk about the practicality, the majority of Christians can attest to this truth that they became converted as nobodies, nonentities, but through their able leadership, prayers, teaching, support, and counsel of their ministers of God, they have been transformed into entities and prominent people. Some have become heads of major institutions or own their personal businesses, CEOs. I came and saw a class of young men here, and with time, through the able support of their ministers, I went to Tamale. I saw one of them was doing very well. There was a day I went to Bemaka for a wedding. I saw one of them. I mentioned Major. He said, no, I'm not Lieutenant Colonel. I said, yes, sir, Lieutenant Colonel. Sometimes I watch TV and the air, one man is flying there, and they keep on changing his position from squadron leader to wing commander to this and this and this. And when I see that, I am happy, and I know that God, through the able leadership of your senior pastor, has been able, through prayer, the word of God, and teaching, transform this life, and they are now victorious in life.
All correct, sir.
Sometimes you need to take a thread along memory lane. Go and look at your black and white photographs 20 years ago and see how you are and how look at today and then say, it is for the Lord and it is for the ministers of God. And then to
give black and white. Now just see me and
so undoubtedly, the spiritual flock too will have to play the complementary role by supporting the men of God in their bodies, that is materially and
financially. And
unfortunately, this area of support has become the most difficult area for the
floor.
I have pastor friends, when it is time for appreciation, members will not come to church at all. One man made it every 2 years, the same thing. When they know today we are appreciating, they won't go to church. Apostle Paul had different experiences with the Philippian and Corinthian church. He decided to bless the Philippian church because they sowed materially and financially towards his ministry and the gospel.
Now, Philippians 4, the Apostle Paul said, "Obeshrai san se omodi wanguchemu."
And this is what is said in Philippians 4:14-20. Philippians 4:14-20. Nevertheless, you have done well that is shared in my distress. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing unto the Lord. As a result of this, and now my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. They did something. They shared with him concerning giving and receiving, so now he's praying God's blessings upon their lives.
Now, Philippians 1:19, I want to say now, 76 say, Paul, and King Kain Fa, Sinia, Unia, and Boa, as a phone tie that you are paying in them, and now I'm going to say, Unyame, Ebemania, Mohishenina, and now.
So Apostle Paul summed his message with a benediction to them. He said, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That is to say, as a result of your acceptable sacrifice that has pleased God, So that same God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Paradoxically, Apostle Paul faced a different instance of ingratitude and difficulty in giving to the Corinthians church of So he asked them a simple question. He said, if we have sold spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? So we're talking about two things, spiritual things and material things. Ministers of God sow spiritual things, and you are supposed to sow material things. So if God uses the ministers of God to solve your barren condition and blesses you with a child, it is a great thing to bless the man of God with material money, which is more durable, the child or the money?
Similarly,
if God uses the ministers of God to solve your sick condition and blesses you with sound health, is it a difficult thing to bless him with financial money? Which is more durable, the healthy body or the money? I listened to the testimony. Somebody's tumor had vanished. If you went to the hospital and they will say surgical, you know how much money they are going to take for operating that. But through the word and prayer, that surgical, that tumor is gone. Is it a big thing if you say, I am sowing 1,000 cedis into the life of the minister of God? Finally, if God uses the minister of God to open doors to you, to build a mansion or buy a durable means of transport, and you invite them for dedications, reconsider the different types of dedications and the miracles behind them. Child dedication, they are there. Building dedication, they are there. Vehicle dedication, they are there. Graduation, they are there. Some of the buildings cost billions, and you have not been able to sow 1% of the total amount of the building. If it is 6 billion, you've not been able to sow 6,000 cedis to them before. Is this what you want to be experienced? Do you sow material things that are commensurate to
them?
I followed the pastor trend to dedicate a house. When we were coming, he passed at the filling station and they gave me some white envelope. When I watched, I saw two to buy fuel. 200 to buy fuel to a minister. After you built a house of about 6 billion, is that all you can give to the minister?
And
no wonder these quack prophets, they will take their own at foundation, they will come and see a frog, they will take money for frog. When you get to lintel level, they will see a crocodile, they will take money for crocodile. When it comes to roofing, they will see some chimpanzee, they will take money for chimpanzee.
But
we have not so learned from Jesus Christ. The final question, who supports the ministers of God financially and materially? I end with one quotation, and the answer is, maybe it is ignorance. They don't know what they benefit when they sow into the life of ministers of God. My final quotation is Ezekiel 44:30. The best of all first fruits of any kind and every sacrifice of any kind from all your sacrifices shall be the priest. Also, you shall give to the priest the first of your grain meal, risen to cause a blessing to rest on my house. Somebody say, to cause a blessing to rest on my house.
To cause a blessing to rest.
Say it once again.
To cause a blessing to rest on
so
my house.
So, according to Ezekiel, the reason you sow into the life of the minister is that God has endowed him with some spiritual unction that he can release the spiritual blessings from heaven to rest on your house.
I don't
want to play with the words on your house and in your house. On covers a bigger domain. It involves everything. Either your fowls or your cat or your bay or even in Kuluka, Kwakwe in your house will be blessed because of the minister
now,
of God.
Since you know, Kase a diamond in a war a diamond.
So it is your duty to sow into the life of the priest, and consciously or unconsciously, the priest will release one's blessings on one's house. So what I want you to notice is that according to this scripture, if you are looking for the admission, the scholarship to that school, it is not at Achua Mountain. So into the love of the minister of God, and you cause that blessing to rest on your house. The appointment letter, the promotional letter, the tender you want to win, the contract you want to win, the goods, the sales, is not at Achua Mountain. It is in the bosom of your pastor, so into his life, and you cause it to rest on your
house.
The healing you want to receive, the engagement ring and the wedding ring, the twins you want to bring birth to are not at Achua Mountain. They are in the bosom of your minister, sow into his life, and you cause that blessing to rest on your house. The ticket you are looking for, the visa you are looking for, the car key is not at Achua Mountain. It is in the bosom of your pastor, sow into his life, and you cause that blessing to rest on your house. The key to that accommodation you are looking for, the land and title deeds you are looking for, the victorial judgment you are looking for at that court of arbitration cannot be found anywhere. So into his lap, and you call that blessing to rest on your house.
Contrarily,
if you will hold your material and financial blessings from your ministers of God, then you are preventing or hindering your own blessings from resting on your houses.
I
end with just one or two testimonies. One is about Bishop Oyedepo, that is a Winners Chapel. He has a spiritual father, the personality of Pastor Adeboye, Redeemed Church of God. Now, what he did was, he went in for a customized vehicle. Customized. Nobody uses that one. It has a bed inside. It has fridge. It has everything. Just like a one-bedroom apartment. And then he let them build that one for him. He fuel seat. He provided a chauffeur, servicing and everything. So all that, Baba Adeboye will just say, I want to travel to Surulele. He will call the driver because even he has been paying the driver, servicing and everything. He just sits inside, you chauffeur him to and fro. He doesn't do anything about that vehicle.
Now, there's a deal about a fire or so for Adeboye who has seven or catch, say, oh, Kai, Shane, dear, be beer, will be. Yeah, we bet you will move, and power will move now. A brevia also called baby, a being here and say, or be friend, not my baby, find the Edinaco.
Then the second testimony is about Pastor Matthew Asimilowo. As you see him, they are all looking for avenues to sow their seed. He has a spiritual head in the personality of Bishop Tidiges. So every year, he takes naira, he takes pounds, he takes sterling, he takes euros, and he sows them into the life of Bishop Tidiges.
Finally,
it's about this minister of God in Nigeria, a very great man. I don't want to mention his name. He bought a Mercedes Jeep, very brand new. Then just a week later, he fell ill. Ministers of God from all the countries came and prayed for him. Because he had money, even some came and then rented hotels around his place of abode. He fasted and prayed. The disease was not going away. Then one day, whilst he was on his sick bed, a pastor came to visit him. He was an Obrofuo, as a matter of fact. Then the Spirit of God told him that this Mercedes Jeep Benz, that key you are holding, just hand it over to this pastor friend and let him drive your car away. It was so difficult. Nigerians, they treasure vehicles that they ride on. They call themselves by their car. Oni Volvo, that is the owner of Volvo. Oni Mercedes, the owner of Mercedes. So for him to allow his Mercedes just 1 week to go, it was a difficult thing. But then it was between death and life. He had to listen. He listened and then he gave the car key to the man. He told the man, don't pray for me. I've heard something from the Lord. So the man took the car key. He had driven for a very long time. When he got into the garage, the way he applied it, zoo, finally, he heard the car had sped off from the garage. Then he slept and waited. 30 minutes later, he received a call from this man. He spoke two words from Yoruba. The first one is Amotidele, meaning I have reached home. And the second message was Adafue. Adafue means it shall be well with you. Konidafue means it shall not be well with you. But as soon as he heard Adafue, according to this pastor, some power came from nowhere, lifted him, and he stood up from the sick bed once again.
Now, so for back or ban and chain and the big catching some funny cars of one and man on chinning our chibaco. Now, the man or no, so for the quail.
It's not on chinning our chibaco. I didn't say so. He was sowing it. Look. It's over. That's why I don't want testimonies to be this. So, somebody's story is about to change from today. May your testimony follow this one shortly in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody's destiny is about to change. Somebody's story is about to change. Sow into the life of your ministers of God. And when they say it shall be well with you, it shall truly be well with you. Church, it shall be well with you at your place of studies. It shall be well with you at your place of work. Even on your sick bed, it shall be well with you. In your marriages, it shall be well with you. In your traveling, it shall be well with you. Even in the courtroom, it shall be well with you. Everywhere the soles of your feet tread upon, it shall be well with you. Whatever your hands handle, it shall be well with you. Solution. So holistically, to support the minister of God, and it shall truly be well with you.
Amen.
Shall we rise for a short prayer?
To pray.
Thank the Lord. Ask the Lord to talk to you. Giving is a spiritual warfare. You have heard the word of God. You have to support. You have to labor. Labor to support them in prayer, encouraging them, and finally, sow material things into their life. So talk to God and let God talk to you. Talk to God and let God talk to you. Talk to God and let God talk to you concerning how to labor to support your ministers of God today, materially and financially. Thank you for your word that has come. Thank you. The anointing that is present here to change lives and transform lives from poor into riches, into wealth, until people become men and women of treasure. Touch the hearts of your people. Speak to them as they give.
Thank you for listening to today's word. We believe that you have been impacted greatly. If you are listening to this podcast and you want to give your life to Christ, please say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you came to do for me. Your life for mine, my sin for your righteousness. I believe that you are the Son of God sent to die for me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for your grace towards me. Amen. Beloved, if you have said this prayer, you are now a child of God. Welcome to God's heavenly family. You can send us an email on deliveranceagdh@gmail.com. We would be glad to assist you and help you grow in the Lord. Thank you. Till next time, keep living the glorious life in Christ. That he gave his own.